and feel better, Yair. I had the opportunity to see
Yair.
Not
the dramatic effect, and now the this way, of course. So, but I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, it was good to see you a few weeks ago. Was it a few weeks ago?
Yes, it was at the wedding.
It was in recent memory. but again, I'm not going to, with the three seasoned Talmid Chachamim, I can just speak in broader terms and raise some questions. And then, the details we can do more another time. So the topic in, say, the beginning of the Parak Kalfi, and I want to speak a little bit about raising some issues and looking at some potential makoros, and there are many, many more, and the details, of course, fleshed out, but that would take much more time, of Se'ira Mishtaleach, and especially the concept of the two Se'irim more broadly. And, I'll just start off by saying, again, some of you have heard me on these topics, and it's not going to be a surprise, that, obviously, Avodas Yom Kippurim, which is what you're really devoting, you're learning to this year, is a fascinating topic. And like all Kachin, it's very much, self-contained, which is a particular kind of limud. I think makes it a particularly conducive limud for a small group, also for a kolel. But one could have thought that the avoda and Yom Kippur is like, the exotic aspect, the mikdash aspect. And as such, as important as it is, that it has like a more narrow or isolated role, to play. But, it's perfectly clear that the Avodas Yom Kippurim, with all of its unique facets and features, what I call rule-breaking elements, isn't just, an added dimension or a separate component, when it comes to Yom Kippur and its Kedushas Hayom, but really is a centerpiece and is interconnected. That's another topic, and I'm sure you've been doing some of those too, to the other aspects of the day. So Malacha, the Tzom, the Rambam actually begins with the phrase, B'yom Hatzom, which is, there's nothing technically problematic about that. It's accurate, it's poetic, but clearly, the Rambam intended to use the same phrase in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. Clearly, what he was trying to say, and this is borne out by the halachos as well, and that is that all of the salient and unique features of Yom Kippur's Kedushas Hayom, as much as they're separate, they're interconnected. It's just using the word B'yom Hatzom was his way of saying, what I'm going to write about here. The end of Sefer Avodah and Avodas Yom Kippurim is, connected with what I already wrote about, in Hilchos Shmisas Asar. And without going to the end of the Masechta and the more known parts of the Moed, but just to, it would be remiss if I didn't, just mention it very quickly, and that is that everything about Yom Kippur is unique. Even, the parts that appear to, be generic, and typical. So I've spoken many, many times in the past about the term Mikra Kodesh and how it's used in Yom Kippur differently than the rest of the Parshas HaMoedim. And again, we could speak shorthand. So in all of the other Moedim, with maybe the exception of Rosh Hashanah, which is also a little bit different, but not as different, Mikra Kodesh is connected to Isur Malacha. And of course, when it comes to everything but Shabbos and Yom Kippur, the term especially Melechas Avoda, which according to Ramban also signifies, Hetero Chol Nefesh. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, both in, Emor and in Pinchas, the term Mikra Kodesh is connected to the Nisan Mitznach Seichem, and Isur Melacha is connected to Ki Yom Kippurim. So that's the Torah's, I believe, remez to teach us that even in the features that mostly look, common and familiar to us, that, they're dinam of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has like an intrinsic Yisur Malacha, and its Mikra Kodesh is also connected to its unique facet. And the Rambam, I believe, picked up on this when he decided to structure all dinam Yom Kippur in a separate section called Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, which he put after Shabbos and Erevin, as if they connected Shabbos Shabbosom to Shabbos, prior to Hilchos Yom Tov. That's the only one of the Yom Tovim, you know, that isn't mentioned in Hilchos Yom Tov or doesn't follow Hilchos Yom Tov. And in addition to the many, many substantive things that he says, just that structure alone is indicative of the Rambam's, I think, understanding maybe of the Mikra Kodesh or other things, but certainly it's all consistent. And everything about Yom Kippur, even the things that overlap, are unique. It's also important that they overlap, because in the end of the day, Yom Kippur is more powerful in its bearing its singular message, you know, if it isn't, you know, also completely excluded from the Parsha Samoadim or from Sefer Zmanim. Being part of and then being so different and yet being part of is part of what's so extraordinary about Yom Kippur. So when the Rambam says B'Yom Atzom in the beginning of about Kukos Avodas Yom Kippurim, and when the Gemara is in Yuma, you know, clearly connect the question of, you know, certain cases of violating, you know, Melacha or the Tzom for the sake of the Avoda, and we'll see that a little bit later on, just very quickly, and, you know, if it's not just the typical din, you know, of either, you know, halachic triage, where you have clash, you know, you have two different requirements, and then there are rules, you know, sometimes they relate to the onshim, sometimes bi'idne, sometimes, you know, all sorts of rules for halachic triage. But if it can be demonstrated, which mostly it can, that, you know, either the malacha or the tzom part or the avoda part are being treated like as internal factors, not just as external clashes. So again, this all reinforces the idea that, again, all these features are unique and all these features are interconnected. So with one word, B'Yom Atzom, I think Rambam, you know, highlights that. And then he goes on, you know, to also to establish, you would have thought that, you know, B'Yom Atzom, you speak about Avodas Yom Kippurim. So the next thing that you would think would be that at least he's going to zero in on the most unique features of this avoda, the most rule-breaking ones, because certainly that's, you know, dramatically, you know, what captures our imagination and what highlights the difference. But instead, you know, the next thing that he does is tell us that the Kohen Gadol, you know, presides over everything, and he starts off with the Tmidim. And then, of course, the relationship between the Tmidim and the Musafim and the avoda, you know, Shanasa Bifnim, and then the whole discussion of, you know, in the Psukim, the interface between, you know, Achrimos and Emor and Pinchas and the El Ha'am, and is it, you know, is there one, is it two, is the one in Pekudim the same as the one in Emor? All these issues could be understood. I'm saying this very shorthand, but all these issues could be understood as, again, testing the relationship, you know, between the generic parts, you know, and the singular parts. So, you know, if the Kohen Gadol needs to preside over the Tmidim and the Musafim, the Rambam has a Chiddush, you know, that caught the eye of the Mefarshim, and that is, you know, what if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Does the Kohen Gadol have to preside over the Musaf of Shabbos on Yom Kippur? And he says yes to that, you know, as well. And the Or Sameach discusses it, connects it to the Gemara Zvachim, you know, the idea that whenever there's a synergy, you know, between two things, you know, Atu, the famous line of the Gemara in Zvachim on Tzadi Beis, you know, Atu, you know, Tmidei Shabbos, you know, are also not, you know, Shabbos. So, but I think it's possible that you could explain otherwise, and that's what the, you know, what the Rambam has in mind is this, the same way that he structured it. And at one point, you know, right at the beginning of Perek Aleph, you have Halakha Aleph, Beis, Gimel. The Rambam's actually counting the Karbanos. You know, he's counting them and then he's telling you what they are. We can all count, you know, we can figure out that there are 15. But it's his way of saying these are integrated, even though they're so different, and you're going, you know, the dizzying, you know, the hey, Tvilos and the 10 Kiddushim, you know, and the changing of the, you know, car clothes back and forth and back, And obviously it's done in a way that's not efficient at all, if you were just trying to get the most out of it. You know, and the Gra, you know, famously suggests that the, you know, relationship between the Pshuto Shel Mikra and the, you know, and the Masorah, you know, it would have been really 3 and 6 instead of 5 and 10. And that even more highlights how unnecessary from a, you know, technical point of view it is to have to do it this way and how inefficient it is. Right? He suggests that that's the Kol HaLiyo, famously, you know, that Aaron HaKohen takes the view that Aaron HaKohen could walk, you know, into, could I do the Avoda basically all year round? But if he would, he would do it with the 3 and the 6 and not the 5 and the 10. So of course, that's really intriguing in its own right. It has all sorts of implications, both about Aaron HaKohen and, you know, the mean to have an Avoda during the year. But again, for the takeaway for a moment, what it tells us is that the 5 and the 10, is intentionally structured to, you know, continue to emphasize this back and forth and back, in the same way that the aisle question, is it the same one, is it a different one? In the same way, you know, some of the more specific details in these prakim, you know, about when you wear the big day love and then when you don't, when you wear big day zots. All this is intended to kind of create this dialectical, very complex but very meaningful structure of, the generic, the singular, the influence that each has, you know, on the other. So having said that, it's clear that, you know, again, the Kriyas HaTorah, for example, of Yom Kippur, you know, could have been Emor, you know, but it's Achrimos. And, you know, in some respect, you know, the Musaf, of course, and the centrality of the Avoda there, whether it's Amitz Koach or Ata Punanta, you know, and some of the rule breaking that takes place in Chazaras HaShatz, you know, because of it, again, highlights this idea of like the Shliach Tzibur is almost like a presiding, you know, going gadol. You know, in not because of his good voice necessarily, but, you know, but because of his, you know, deep knowledge of hopefully of what he's reading and leading. So this idea that the Avoda isn't just, you know, some exotic kachim thing, but it's all bound up, you know, with the tzum and the malacha, and therefore it's you know, consistent with and adds dimensions to the singular Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. All of this, you know, is, I think, very evident, not, you know, evident after learning it, not if you're not immersed in it, and very important. I think those are like the principles, and they impact how you look at each, you know, individual piece, whether it's the, you know, the Ketores or the, you know, the Par of the Isle of the Kohen Gadol. Or the topic that we want to talk about briefly, and that is the Shnei HaSe'irim. So the Shnei HaSe'irim clearly represent, you know, a very, you know, extraordinary pair, seemingly opposite, you know, in every way, and opposite yet common in their rule-breaking status. One, of course, it's, you know, Nichnas, Lifnai, V'Lifnim. There are other kabbonos that are, you know, chatos, pnimios, but they're not. They don't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, obviously. They're not that lifnim. And again, the hazos that take place and the order, the interplay between, the Sar Lashem and the par, you know, of the gadol and the mixing of the blood. Well, a lot of, there's a lot to say about the Seir Lashem, you know, in its own right. And, while that is the main focal point in some respects, at least, you know, in terms of stature of the Korban, not necessarily in terms of the function of the Korban, as we'll soon see. Again, it's an extraordinary Korban. There's nothing like it, basically. The Seir HaMishtaleach, you know, even more so. the fact, you know, where it ends up, what Azazel even means, you know, in the Mefarshim is a huge topic. If we wanted to go into detail, this could be, you know, a long one. You know, is it something that's on the border of Avodah Zarah? Is it, you know, the, you know, it's like a feast, you know, for, you know, the Kribbalim and for Hasidim and a feast on Yom Kippur, you know, for what does it mean? You know, and of course, Ramban has a very famous piece and the Rambam has a different take. That in itself, just from a Hashkafa point of view, like what is going on in Yazazel? But clearly, that just testament how unusual it is, and the, you know, rule breaking doesn't even, you know, doesn't really even cover it, obviously. So like, what is this? But when you think about it, you know, and this is the main thing that I'm going to try to, you know, discuss some Makoros about. It's not just that you have like these two Seirim and they end up in opposite places. It's, there seems to be also a tension between, you know, to what extent they're opposites and to what extent they are a single key. And the fact that they are, as we'll see soon, you know, they start off as a unit and then they go there, not just separate ways, but opposite ways, can be looked at, you know, in two very different ways. And I think, you know, we could demonstrate this. I'm not going into such detail, but demonstrate this in Mefarshim. And I think that the real truth, or the more compelling truth, is that, you know, neither of these extremes, which I'll explain in a second, you know, are completely accurate or satisfy the evidence as much as a more nuanced approach, you know, does. That's not always true. This seems like it's always true. But that's because you pick topics that are challenging. But I think that is really the case. In other words, you could have said that, you know, these are two, you know, this is really one korban, and, you know, it's all about, you know, obviously the Lashem Chatos, the korban that, you know, gets the destiny of being Nichnas, you know, Lifnai V'Lifnim. But there's a certain process to define that. Of course, the fact that there is such a process and you don't just designate and Makdish a korban the regular way that you do is already speaks volumes, you know, why Dafka here. But there are other ways to explain that, but it certainly needs to be explained. But I guess there are more minimalist ways to explain it, where it doesn't change the reality that the focal point will be the Seir Anasa Pefnim. And, you know, everything that looks like, you know, we are giving attention to, or even a kind of integrated attention, you know, to both Seirim, is just about the process of kind of producing, you know, the Seir Lashem. That's one possibility. The other possibility, of course, is that we're dealing with two different karbanos. And, you know, it's not just the Seir Lashem and the other one is a kind of the Mela and, a, you know, the Booby Prize or the, you know, it's you have to do something with it. And, you know, or maybe there's an extraneous benefit, you know, in how it's used, or maybe that's this, you know, Dechia, you know, in a tzuk, this, you know, way to, you know, kind of symbolically, you know, shabby way that it ends its life. If that's just a way of, you know, getting rid of it properly, that would be the first possibility. But maybe it's the opposite. Maybe there really are two different, you know, karbanos. And again, part of what Azazel is, and is it an appeasement of, you know, other forces? Is it, you know, a symbol of, certainly in terms of kapara, the outsized role of the Seir HaMishtaleach, this is kind of very important and ironic. People don't see it always because they don't take the step back. You know, you look at things and you learn them and you deal with them, you know, as you confront them. But, you know, sometimes when you, you know, think about things and you, you know, look at it from a different vantage point, there are some startling things. So the Seir HaNasa B'Fnim is Nasa B'Fnim. You know, goes actually into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and all the Hazaos and so on and so forth. But the, in terms of Kapara, right, it's the Seir HaMishtaleach, you know, that really, you know, no pun intended, but carries the heavy, you know, burden. And again, there's a whole literature on that too. What is the relationship of the Kapara of the Seir HaMishtaleach? And, you know, how does it either integrate with, or is just an expression that isn't really, you know, as much as it seems, but it's just an expression of Yitzhak Moshe Yon, Rajba, in Shavuos. seems to take the view that Tzir Mishloach is really mechaper. It's just an expression of Yitzumo Shel Yom. Other Rishonim, and some of the most acute expressions on this are in Bali Tosis Ala Torah, you know, think like things like Moshe's Kanim and Hadar's Kanim and so on. We talk about some of the issues. Is the opposite, that, you know, this year of Mishtalayach is a tremendous mechaper, you know, in its own right. The conjunct Rambam seems to hold a certain conjunction. Rambam has a heavy emphasis on the Sira Mishtalayach in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. You know, the Hilchos Tshuva begins with, you know, classic, you know, Tshuva of Kol Hashana, and the Rambam's discussion about Bidui and so on. And very quickly transitions, you know, already practically in Halacha Gimel, native like Gimel Dalet, hey, it gets dominated by Yom Kippur, but particularly, you know, the role of this, when there is a Seir Mishtalayach, when there's no Seir Mishtalayach. So you could have said that, either it's all about, you know, the Seir Anasim thing, or it's about each of these different Karbonos, and they do different things. But I think there is evidence for these views, but I think that another possibility, and probably the one that is most satisfying in terms of the evidence, is that there is, at least initially, for sure, a single kiyum, meaning that the process isn't just, you know, efficient or coincidence or serving some other function, but that it is an intentional process to separate these two, because they're opposite destinies and they're similar physical and other resemblance, highlight certain things about these kiyumim. And that's the question I want to test a little bit today, with some general terms. At different stages, there's the initial stage when you acquire, and you designate, the two Sehirim. And then, of course, there's the Hagrala. And then there's the, formulation of La Hashem Chatas, which at some point, gets articulated, after the Hagrala. We'll see in a moment. And then, of course, there's the Vidui on the, Seir Lazazel, which is still, in the Azara. There are different stages, we'll call it, in the Seir Mishtalayach. And then, of course, the Kohen Gadol is Mishtalayach, B'yad Ish Iti. And even then, there are different phases and stages. There is, when it crosses the threshold of the Azara, and then when it leaves, Yerushalayim, that's when he becomes a Mistame, meaning the Ish Iti. And then there's when he, reaches the Midbar. We'll get back to that later. Where at that point, the Kohen Gadol moves on to the next phase, to the Kriyas HaTorah. And then there's, of course, the Dechia, Latzuk. So all along the way, I think it's interesting to note, you could have said that, if there is some sort of single kiyum status of the two Seirim, that maybe that's just, in order to initiate the process. Or even if it's a little more than that, but that ends, at the Hagrala. But what I'm suggesting is that maybe that isn't true, because there are these four or so different, phases of Seir Mishtalayach. And if we wanted to complicate things, which of course we don't, there are also phases in the Seir Anasa Bifnim, which are relevant. I'm zeroing in more on the Seir Mishtalayach, because obviously that's the, that's the biggest wild card in terms of understanding what it is. And as such, even if there is one kiyum of the two Seirim, understanding, that it's about also, not just the overlap as two candidates for one job or for two jobs, but for preferred and a secondary, job, but also maybe even as their destinies diverge, maybe that's the real kiyum, what I call the attention that each one gets, as the other, what's happening with the, Seir Mishtalech. Meanwhile, back on the, Seir Nasa Bifnim, what's happening there? If that's what you're supposed to be doing, as a kiyum in, mostly in the Seir Nasa Bifnim, but maybe in both. So then even in the later stages, even after the, certainly after the Hagrala, but after the Bidui maybe, and even, again, I think there are different, you know, stages, theory could, you know, be consequential to this, but, you know, leaving Yerushalayim, you know, Hagah, Lemidbar, maybe even all the way to Dechia, Latzuk, you know, what we're talking about is a single kiyum. It also may very well be that there are two aspects, that in, you know, when it comes to, you know, focusing on, at least from the perspective of the Seir Nasa Bifnim, you know, that is one that becomes more normalized, at least, even with all the unusual things we do with it as a korban. And the Seir Mishtaleach is like a kiyum, maybe primarily because of the, you know, contrast, you know, which continues to acutely illuminate, let's say, the status of the Bifnim. In which case, they aren't, you know, even if they are both part of this korbans, you know, they're not korban in the same way. One is a korban intrinsically, or a chatas, and the other one is a korban or an avoda, you know, by virtue of the impact that it has on, you know, enhancing our appreciation and understanding of the other. Okay, so these are things to think about. And I want to just examine, like, some of the material, you know, that it's, some is very definitive, and a lot of things have to be pinned down to see the way that the Farshim explain it, etc. So, partly what we're discussing is whether this is one or two kiyumim. Partly what we're discussing is whether Seir Mishtaleach even qualifies as a korban, as a chatas, at all. So let's begin. The psukim in Achrimos, I think, are already food for thought. Keep an eye on the clock and not go too over time. But if you look at the psukim in the beginning of Achrimos, Umei sadas b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei seirei izim lachatas ba'ay lechad le'ola. So the that's pasuk. It sounds like, you know, there are other ways to read the pasuk for sure, but in the pshat, it sounds like not only is the seir hanasa b'fnim, not only is one of them ultimately going to be, you know, a chatas, but that both of these seirim, right, yikach shneis yirei izim, not lechataos, but lechatas. It's a single korban. Of course, this is, you know, early. This is, you know, of course, before the, you know, Hagrala. But even then, to characterize both as one and as a chatas is significant. On the other hand, in pasuk tes, right, then it could be have the zayin, v'lokach shneis yirim. Just make the ha'ara now, that in the Parsha, the use of the term Shnei Asirim, Shnei Asirim, Shnei Asirim is very, you know, bolet. So again, it, you know, could just be an efficiency thing, for sure. Obviously, I'm pushing the idea that, you know, the Torah itself sees them, you know, as a unit. And I think this is certainly true for the way the Rambam, you know, portrays it also in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, particularly when he is identifying the 15 karbanos, he always puts the seirim together and then subtly says, one of which is going to be nechnas, you know, lifnit. But instead of saying, you know, there's X amount of this and there, you know, there's a seir for this and a seir for that, it's always shnei seirim, she'echad mehem. And even that formulation, it's almost like, you know, because what happens to the one that's nechnas lifnit is kind of still a kiyum, you know, and, or is made into a more enhanced kiyum by the Mishtaleach. So it's very subtle. But yikach shnei seirim chatas, bikurvarin es parachatas ha-shalo, v'lokach ha-shnei ha-seirim, v'hem min al-sam l'pnei Hashem, pesach al-moid, and then v'nasan aron al-shnei ha-seirim, we just, you know, said that. The repetition, I think, is a way of magnifying, you know, this unit idea, gorelos, gorel achad la-shem, gorel achad la-azazel. So it's the gorolos that are different, but it's still basically. But in pasuk tes, that follows, we use the expression the asahu chatas. So that seems to be a reference specifically to this year Hanasa the fifth. So if you, from a pshat point of view, if you look at Pasuk A, you think that this is one kiyum. And if you look at Pasuk Tes, certainly the impression that you get is that there is only one of these two, namely the Nasa Difnim, that is really a Chatas. So is the answer, Kam Lifnei Agoro, Kam Achar Agoro, perhaps. And then, even before, or should you be, learning the Psukim one in light of the other? In other words, you read Pasuk A, once you read Pasuk Tes, so then you understand that, it's a process that's going to produce a single Chatas of Pasuk Tes. But since that that decision is accomplished through a Gorel, so you need everything that goes into that. Or maybe you should be reading Pasuk Tes in light of Pasuk Kain. In other words, we don't mean to say that there's only one Chatas, because we said in Pasuk Kain that both of them are a single Chatas. What we mean is that, what happens to the Nasa Bifnim, that certainly is accentuated, is enhanced by, and is also a kiyum in, this year, Hamishtaleach. Again, the implication would then be that, when we talk about whether or not the Sir Mishtaleach is a chatas or a korban, that there's not a simple yes or no answer. It's a carbon or a chatas, vis-a-vis, the contrast to, the pnim, but not, of course, in its own right. And there's an appeal to that perspective in addition to the evidence, just in just structurally, just looking, obviously, doesn't look like we're treating a Seir Mishtaleach like a typical, carbon. Where's the Shechita? See the moment of the discussion of Ibn Ezra, with Shmuel ben Chafni. Where's the, where's the Zrika? Where's the Haktara? That's the Raivitz question in the context of Shchut Echutz and Hatzmaisa Karbanos. Where's the Shchita? That's the, that's the Ibn Ezra's question, when he, sharply rejects the position of Rav Shmuel Kofni. So the idea that, you're right, it's not a korban. Again, time to figure out what it is. But, or no, it's not a maisa chatas, like a typical chatas, but to the extent that it, by contrast, contributes to a deeper, appreciation of, and some of the, elements of the chatas anasa bifnim, in that respect, it's still part of the kiyum chatas, and therefore maybe it doesn't have the maisa karbanos aspects. I see last week you said you did, paraduma. So paraduma, of course, is a very interesting, that's another topic, but, paraduma is ikri chatas, and for many dinim, we treat it that way. The whole discussion with regard to lishma, for example, and other things, and Chaim has his piece. You told me the Dvar Avram and Avram I have to look at, but Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. But one of the aros that Rav Chaim has, and Rav Elbel quotes this in his Lishma discussion, as well, is that on the one hand, paraduma has a shame katas, but the maisa hakrava, the hilkos maisa karbonos aspects of it are not anything like that. But you don't have shechita, you don't have everything that you typically, expect in the chatas, which is why Ravelbo is trying to suggest that you can parse, the lishma, dinim of paradum. You don't have the kind of stama lishma or those kind of things, because those are novea simply from the ha-maisa, rabba, and, hakdasha. You have the hakdasha, and the shame, chatas. So I'm not saying that it's identical, but what I am saying is that Sira Mishtaleach is another example where the, the nuts and bolts and the typical, process, of a chatas are certainly absent, and yet it might have, the status of a katas by virtue of its origins, and I'm suggesting even more, maybe even by virtue of its continuum, the yin and the yang, the fact that you're watching on two screens, as the, I don't mean it literally at the same time, but as the bigger process, as this is being nichnas lefnai velefnim, and that one is going further and further away to meet its unhappy destiny. Right.
I just wanted to say hello. I apologize. I wasn't aware you came in.
It's okay. It's always nice to see you. It's wonderful to see you. I remember being here and you had a group of students.
Right. I'm looking forward. I was hoping maybe for those that's like, sorry to interrupt the share. We had a moment after the share. Maybe I could wrap them into my girls. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
But, if we can, I'll
see you on the show.
Great. Nice to see you. So, So I think the paradigm of Paraduma with all the differences, of course, are something to look at as well. Anyway, the Gemara says in Mem of the Beis, I'll move a little quicker, that Hagrola Oseu Chatas, the Lo Kriyas Hashem Oseu Chatas. That's of course a topic in its own right. But if you look at Bali Tosis there, Tosis is like trouble. Number one, why don't you have the typical, hakdasha b'peh that you have in other, karbanos? I'm talking about now, not the mishtaleach alone, but the, the nasah b'fnim as well. Or mimarushach, Tosa says on them. Why don't you learn from here that there's another method or a method or preferred method of being makdish a karban, through a goro? So why is this basically Tosfos' way of asking, why is this such a rule breaker? But the bigger answer, of course, is that precisely because there's a certain symbolic significance, by which I mean a key, a halachic kiyum in the significance of producing the one that's nichnas b'fnim and the one that's Nidcha, batzuk, through a hagrala, both in terms hashkafically of, the potential, and the idea of, we'll speak a little more in the end, but, the mutual exclusivity of what I call the kind of, aspiration and the loyalty test of Yom Kippur, in which it's like, everything extreme. You're even going to be nichlas lefnai v'lefnim. You're not willing to do that on Yom Kippur, like the day of Kol Hashem. It's lazaza. It's two stark choices. And the potential is always there, and it's a hagrala dafka, but in addition to all of that, which I think is part of it, the overlapping ideas, there's also the idea that the hagrala is a way of maintaining, not only, projecting the initial, unit as a single kiyum, which you don't have in any other korban, basically. But maybe in the continuation of that, even after the hagrala, maybe even after the bidui, maybe all along the way. So the idea that this would apply to the korbanos, or that this korban should be done in more typical fashion of being makdish, the peh, doesn't work. As I said, even if you look at the psukim themselves, going forward through the Avodah, I'm not going to read them now. It's as if, we're there's a double screen going on, and you're constantly following one or the other. And that, of course, continues to link them and reminds you about the role that the Hagrala, plays. We always call them, Shnei Hasirim. Even after the Hagrala, they retain that idea. It's interesting, there's a day in the Gemara that your Mekasher Lashon Zahoris on the Tzavar of the Seir LaHashem as well. Again, there seem to be like traffic in both directions, things that you do to the Seir Mishtaleach, seem to be, Seir LaHashem phenomena and vice versa. Again, the Rambam doesn't mention this, and I know Zekeel will talk about it a little bit. It is quoted also in Atta Kananta. It's also an interesting issue to play some of these issues out between Hametz Koach and Ata Konanta. But the idea that Seir LaHashem has some elements of Seir Mishtaleach, certainly the Seir Mishtaleach has elements of Seir LaHashem, all this is implied. The what? Ashkenaz. It's not, right. Ata Konanta is smart.
Right.
Hametz Koach. Hametz Koach. It's the Rav. The Rav used to say that he thought that, you know, it's easier to understand than he liked. He preferred Ata Konanta, even though, you know, he said, you know, in Ashkenaz it's really, but Ashkenaz is Hametz Koach. And Sfarad is up. There are a number of differences. Okay. So the Mishnah in Samach Beis Samad Aleph, of course, you know, famously says that, you know, Shnei Seira Yom HaKippur Mitzvasan Shiv Shneim Shavim. The Mara, the Koma, the Damin, the Mekichasan Ki Echad. Not necessarily Ma'akev some of these things, but, you know, the din itself, of course, is very fascinating. So the idea that, you know, why is this so? In theory, just to make it clear, like you could have had, you know, many people think it's a din of the Hagrala. Like you want the Gorel to be doing something. But the truth is that you can have a Gorel which differentiates, you know, two potential carbonos, even if they don't look the same in any way. They're different colors of different heights. I mean, you have two candidates for, you know, to be a korban or to be a this korban or a that korban. As long as they're both ksherim, you still have a hagrah. So it's just fascinating, like, why do we want them to be shavim, b'mar, b'kol? Even if you think that it's more dramatic, you know, because it's also, it's not just how we chose this korban, it's like, you know, there's an additional message, ki'ilu, like the only difference between these things is the hagrala. You know, that, or the decision, you know, to put one bifnim, you know, so that's more dramatic, obviously, when, you know, when they're shoving, you know, Bekoma, Ubemara, you know, and probably even, well, I'm not sure about the Bedamim part, but if it's shoving Bekoma, Mara, that's certainly it. But what about Bedamim, and especially in the Kihasan, you know, Kiacha, meaning once you have these identical Seirim, that point about the, you know, not just that the Goral made the decision, but that's, you know, these are identical in every other way. But like Kichasan Kiachad, obviously, you know, doesn't. I mean, again, you can add, say it's an added, you know, they were even bought at the same time. Maybe. It's possible, assuming that at least is one Kiyum, especially Lifnei Hagrala, Pasuk Kei. And certainly if you think that that continues to be the case, so then the idea, even, you know, certainly the idea of Koma Mara, you know, and you know, Adamim, is even more than just the point of the decisive role of Hagrala and the symbol of what that means. But the idea that it's one Kiyum, you know, is for sure enhanced even by Lekichas and Kiachad, as subtle, you know, as I think you bought them together because they're basically one or integrated, you know, concept of the karma. Of course, this becomes a very critical issue in figuring out machlokas, very complicated machlokas, you know, discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara. What happens if one of the team dies, you know, and it needs to be replaced? If we had more time, that would be something to really kind of flesh out. And I think the issue is to figure out, you know, to what extent, you know, you're just replacing accurately. You could replace, you know, whichever one dies maybe accurately, but if the whole point is to, you know, not just, you know, to establish, you know, which is which, but, you know, to, you know, accentuate that they were or especially are, you know, a unit in some respect. So then, you know, replacing isn't good enough. You somehow, or part of the replacing needs to be, you know, by integrating or you know, partnering, you know, with the previous, with the other one. And that could lead to, you know, anomalous circumstances relative to the replacement, let's say, of other carbonos, you know, that die, and the carbon Pesach dies. There, of course, is also some interesting issues in the last year, I guess, in terms of, you know, Chabura, you know, but it isn't exactly the same. And if the rules are fundamentally different, you know, in either direction, that would be something to look at. That's an important issue. The Gemara in Shavuos, after Gimel Amud Aleph, and Tosis in Yoma on Samach Beis, you know, Amud Aleph fleshes this out, discusses the Kapara, you know, overlap between the Seir Mishalech and the Seir, you know, Hanasa Bichnit. You know, where the Kohanim are included, you know, in the Seir Mishtaleach, whether or not, you know, some of the Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, you know, that itself, obviously, Agav, you know, the role of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav on Seir Rosh Chodesh, but even more so on the Seir Anasa V'Fnim of Yom Kippur, like you would think, you know, again, that's one of the things you have to take a step back now and then, you know, that the Yom Kippur is about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. You know, that the Seir Anasa B'Fnim breaks all these rules, that's like its primary, you know, function for some. But obviously, I think that, you know, there's a certain importance to Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashim in general that we don't, you know, appreciate as much as we should, and particularly in Yom Kippur. But either way, the discussion of Tosas and Yoma on Salach Beis of Anala, based on the Gemara and Shavuos, about, you know, the overlapping Kapara roles of Seir Anasa B'Fnim and the Mishtaleach are part of this story. What about the process itself of the Hagrala, and especially the announcement of Hashem Chafetz? I think, again, here, the thing to look at is that the more you think this is just about a process of establishing, you know, the Seir Anasah, and that the Seir Mishtaleach is like this, it's the leftover, it's the other one, you know. And again, then maybe it does have a function, or maybe you just have to get rid of it in a proper way, or in a way that reflects that it's the other one, you know, the one that missed out, the one that's not being mixed in. Assuming again that that isn't part of the key of the, you know, split screen. So you would have expected that, like, you know, the Goral's purpose is to establish the Seir Anasah. And Seir Mishtaleach is kind of like, you know, the one that isn't. You're not saying Lashem Chatos, and Mimela, that's the, you know, Seir HaMishtaleach. Moreover, the phrase Lashem Chatos, you know, would certainly exclusively be connected to the Nasa B'Fnim. Either way, that may be the case, but it certainly would be the case. On the other hand, it's clear already from the Psukim in the Torah, and of course from the process that is fleshed out in the sugyas, that it's not true, that there are base goroles, and that there's, you know, two people, each of whom is present. There's a chalos of, you know, gora, la'azazel, in addition, you know, to, you know, not being the one that's not so with you. From the Mishnah Lamed Tesav and Aleph, it seems that the hagrala is like a formal process, not just a method of distinguishing. And it sounds like you're choosing two seirim, which may mean two separate karbanos, but it certainly means that the Mishtaleach is not just, you know, the non La Hashem. And that's why you have two people. Yeah.
This meeting is being recorded. Says,
that you simply say Lashem. You don't even say Lashem Chatas. Yeah. And if indeed, you know, you delay and you say Lashem Chatas only after putting the Goral also on the Seir Mishnaleach, which you talked about a minute ago from the language of the Mishnah, although not in the Rambam, and especially according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Kofni, who is arguing that they're both, even the Seir Mishnaleach is Lashem. And I don't think he only means by that, like in the broader sense. Of course, we're not, you know, serving Samael or whatever it is. You know, that's not what he means. He means, you know, in the language of the Psu, he means that when you say Lashem Chatas, you mean both of these are Lashem. So then I think, you know, basically we can suggest several things. It's interesting that the Rambam, as I mentioned, only mentions this in the context of the Shemos. And for him, it's not a din in the Hagrala. He leaves it out in Perek Dalid. He only brings it in Perek Beis Halacha Vav, which is the place where he counts the 10, you know, Shemos HaMeforosh. So I think that one could argue two things. Number one, according to Rav Shmuel ben Kofni, I think it's easy to say, and that's the most powerful thing to say, that we use Lashem Chatas and not Chatas Lashem precisely because what we're trying to underscore is that this isn't, you know, the typical Hakdasha of a single carbon, but this is a, you know, partnership, or this is a unit. And this Chatas, you know, while it has, you know, of course, some aspect of typical Chatas and typical Maisa Karbanos of a Chatas, but, you know, it's much more than that. It's, you know, the Nichnas Lefnim, you know, is highlighted by the Lazazel, you know, and both, and the contrast, all of that is part of the Kiyum of Lashem Chatas. They're not two separate, you know, Karbanos. The Lashem Chatas goes on the whole process, like a big circle around the whole thing. I think that's one element. In addition, the Rav used to speak a lot about, you know, the 10 Shemos HaMeforash on, in the context of the Avodah. And he had this, you know, whole discussion about Anah Hashem and Anah Bishem and Anah Bishem Kaper. That was a little bit, you know, lechudash, but Anah, comma, Bishem Kaper. But I'm going to take it in a little bit of a different way, but like in the spirit of that, it could very well be that the whole, you know, idea of Hashem Chatas together with, I mean, it's a strange, let me say it this way, it's a strange combination, the Shem Hashem HaMeforash of the Hagrala, you know, and the Vidui, right? They're totally, seem like they're totally different, you know, idea. One is a designation, seemingly, and the other is, you know, the who are you addressing in your Vidui? Both of them are actually strange, you know, as like an avoda that requires a ishtachavaya, you know, etc. But I think the idea that the Rav was mostly trying to convey, and if not, so I'm co-opting part and I'm saying it, is that Yom Kippur is a day in which Shem HaMeforash, followed by Bar Hashem Kavod Machusel Le'olam Va'ed, it's part of the Kula Lashem, the access that we have, the ability to be Nichas Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the contrast, you know, of, you know, Dechia Latzuk and everything of that, you know, Hagrala dictates your only two choices, you know, on this day, black and white, loyalty, you know, or, you know, you're for me or against me. That kind of a thing, you know, is consistent also, or is expressed also, in the accessibility of Shema Mefarash. And in the Vidui also, this is Rav's point, it's not, you're not just like describing who you're addressing in the Vidui. Part of the Vidui, right, is the ability, you know, to access Shema Hashem, you know, through the Vidui, through Tshuva, through these Karbanos, to be Nichnas Lefnai, but to have a certain, you know, intimacy, you know, so that even the, like you have a matir, to use also Rav language, you know, to employ Shem Hashem, given your posture on this day. It's a kiyum in Yom Kippur itself. And if that's the case, this is what I'm adding, the idea of Lashem Chatos being that, the 10th, in a way, you know, the final one, in a way, And being a din, not in the, you know, Hagrala per se, you know, but a din in the Shema, it's a way of saying, yes, and this whole process of, you know, of one Kiyum in this fused way, you know, Lashem Chatas, you know, that's part of it as well. So that I think is, okay, now let's speak for a couple of minutes and we'll try to, conclude in a few minutes about the indications that a Sir Lazazel is or isn't a Korban. So again, I think there are indications in one way and in the other way. Some of them are obvious. And I think that, again, the mixed evidence points to the fact, you know, that it is a kind of Korban, but obviously not a typical Korban. We know that factually, structurally, but, you know, conceptually, that it's a Korban vis-a-vis, you know, not only its origins, but the illumination of the Nasotim. But it isn't a Korban or an avoda, you know, with respect to its own self or the typical Maisa Korban. So one is, this goes from the Sugyan Samach Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara speaks about Ish Iti. And the Gemara says, you know, Ish Iti Apilu B'Shabbos, Iti Apilu B'Tuma, Ish L'Hakshir Hazar. So a very interesting Gemara. Pshita Mao the same Kapara Ksiva Bei, Kamash Mulan. Iti Apilu B'Shabbos, L'ma Hilkosa, Lomar Maya Cholam Akiva Kseifa. Right? They talk about Chaynos. It's Atzmo. Fine. And then the Gemara has, you know, Apilu Omar Rav Sheshes, Lomar Shem Nitma, Mishalko, it's betumah l'may hilchasa, lomar shem nitma, mishalko, nichnas tamei lazara, u'mishalko. So these three, you know, it's hard to pin them down, but, you know, obviously they're a little suggestive. You have to start with assuming they're suggestive and then try to see what people do with them. So the czar, of course, the Gemara, like, you know, why wouldn't the czar be able to? Now, here we're already, we're not talking about the Agrala. This is already after the Agrala, after the Bidui. This is the Shiluach. So is there still an element of Korban in that or an avoda in all of that? So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's Gorim Kapara. So Gorim Kapara is a reason that you need a Kohen. So obviously it's much easier to explain that if you think that there's some element of Kiyum. The Gorim Kapara is a way of showing that this is an avoda or it's connected to the Kiyum of Chathas. And therefore there'd at least be a prep. But there's a whole issue whether, you know, halacha, we always say that, you know, the ish iti should be a kohen, even though he doesn't need to be a kohen. It's a strange, you know, phenomenon. There never was a non-kohen, or, you know, why? There could be a non-kohen. That whole question, but that's an ish iti thing, although I think it's related. But the havamina, that, you know, what's wrong with a, I'm sorry, that there would, that's a Gemara sense. What would be wrong with the czar? You know, there's a certain force to that question. That it's Gorim Kapara, you know, it seems to bring it into the orbit of a typical Korban more. And what's the Kamash Milan? Right. So then in the stencils of Chaim and Shkalim has a bit of a discussion of this as well, at least in this direction. Similarly, Shabbos. So a typical Korban, you know, it's a kavua bozman. Of course, you're mechalal Shabbos, but here we're talking about the shiluach hazazel, not the shechita. We're not talking about the regular avodos. So both, you know, the action and the stage, you know, does that warrant chilul Shabbos? And if so, because the kamash mal that it's an avoda, or even if it isn't an avoda, but you know, it's still nachutz, and therefore it's mechalal Shabbos. Maybe it's a separate zeris akasuv. Iti afilu b'Shabbos, or iti afilu b'Shabbos says vis-a-vis, you know, this kiyum, it's a korban and it's part of the regular din. So the Rash Mishans on the Sifron and Parshas Achrimos says no. The Havamina was that the shiluach, the hagrala is ma'akev, but not the shiluach, and therefore it's not necessary. Therefore, even if it is an avoda, right, if it's an unnecessary avoda, there's no heter on Shabbos. So what's a kamashmon? Oh, maybe it's like something like evarim or pedarim that are not ma'akeh, but they're a kiyum, and they're docha Shabbos. So he very much is, you know, discussing it, you know, from that point of view. Yerushalmi, on the other hand, which the Rash also notes, thinks no, shiluach is ma'akeh. So if not for Gzeres HaKasuv, even though it's ma'akev, we would have said that what? That it's not docha Shabbos. Even though it's part of the process. So this would point, again, maybe Lamaskana, you know, that it's not a korban. Tuma, of course, again, typically should be an ikuv, unless it's, you know, butcher betzibor or things like that, or tzitz, or, but tuma typically is incompatible with avoda. So if you look at the Shittim Kuvetzes in Krisis Yadalad Amin Aleph, Osyudeis, he asks a simple question, which other Achronim asks, later, is what do you even need this for? Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol simply ask, if you have a, you know, an Ish Iti who's Tameh, so have the Kohen Gadol escort the, you know, the Sira Mishtaleach from the Azara and let go pick it up from there. Why does he have to be Dechnas LaAzara? Right? So the first day that he mentions is because, no, that's what the Gzeres HaKasav Yamod Chai with Hashem with Shalcho to teach you that, you know, you have to be the Ish Iti is the one who has to take it out of the Azara. So that's an Ish Iti issue, enough for now. But the second answer that he gives is that no, that the reason Dafka, that the Ish Iti is Nichnas, is because otherwise you might think this is an Avoda, and that's why, and therefore it's possible if it's not, if it, you know, it would be possible, but Tuma. So Dafka, we want the Ish Iti, if he has no other choice, to Nichnas, you know, into the Azara to show it isn't an avoda, not an avoda, but it's a korban. Or hard to know. Again, it's hard to pin these down, but definitely these are relevant issues. In the end, it sounds like the zar and the tuma, you know, are not ikuvim, you know, which put sira mishtaleach, you know, not so much on the korban side. Although again, there's a kasu, the avot, whatever, but it is doka Shabbos. Interesting. Okay. If you take the view that it's something in between, these are much easier to navigate. A korban tzibur requires smicha. And in the Mishnah and Minachos on Tzadi Aleph and Beis, I'm sorry, korban tzibur typically doesn't require smicha, with two exceptions, and that's what the Mishnah mentions on Tzadi Aleph and Beis. One, of course, is parhelm davreshot tzibur, and the other is seira mishtaleach. If you look at the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, first of all, the Rambam paskins this, of course, in Per Gimel Halachah of Maisa Karbanos, and he explains it a little, Pirush Mishnayos, you know, that it has to do, typically there's no smicha on a korban tzibur because like, who's going to do it? You need somebody to be like, you know, uniquely suited. The parlin davreshot tzibur you have, you know, the ziknei bez, and the whole, without going into that, the psukim, you know, the lumdus, you know, the klal yisrael archote, but the, you know, the goreim is the bezdin. Anyway, they're suited. They're particularly suited. And of course, kohen gadol and yom kippur. But is the kohen gadol and yom kippur particularly connected and suited to the sira mishtaleach, or just, you know, to the rest of the avoda? That's an interesting question. At the time of the vidui, or the smicha, you know, it's after the hagrala, but it's kodem the shiluach. So that is something, again, to think about. The Gemara in Shavuos Yud Beis Amud Beis says that zebach rishoyim toeva, v'li tshuva, in other words, pasels, you know, a korban, that in principle applies to the sira mishtaleach. Again, implying that we're applying dine korban to it, although it could just be a din in the kapara, perhaps. Maybe it's a kapara halakha. Either way, the Kesa Mishnah notes in Perek Aleph of Teshuvah Halakha Beis that the Rambam doesn't mention this, that the Rambam strikingly omits it. That's something to think about. The Shkute Chutz. So, of course, that is a very interesting argument. Sugya in Tzvachim, Kuf Gimel, and Sugya in Yuma, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, are different girsos. But what emerges, you have an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivid. The Rambam holds, you know, that there is a din of Shkutei Chutz, Kodem Vidui, on the Sira Mishtaleach. And the Raivid argues, well, he said there's no Zrika, there's no Akhtar, I made allusion to it before, like Ibn Ezra, you know, is emphasizing the Rosh Chita. Raivid is emphasizing with respect to Shkutei Chutz. So, of course, Shkutei Chutz, you know, has to be Roy Leos Bifnim, Is this Roy Leo's Bifnim? That's the Rabbi is saying no. But here it's interesting, if you look at the different Achronim, how they understood this Machlokas, so some of them understood that that's good for the Machlokas. It's the Seir and Mishtaleach, even prior to Vidui, this is in the early part, is it a Karban really, you know, or not? And I think in the Kiddusha Griz, Alatar, that's, you know, that's how he understands Machlokas of an Arnum. In the Kiddusha Gram Bahagrid, it's these other places too, they present it a different way. They assume everybody agrees that Seir, they don't say it, but that Seir Mishtaleach would be a Karban. The question is the din of Roy Bifnim and Shchutei Chutz dependent on Shem Karban, or is it dependent on, like, you know, the Maisa of, you know, Hakraba and Haktara? Maybe that's the point of the Rabbi. The Rabbi isn't saying it's not Karban. He's saying in order to qualify, that's an interesting Shchutei Chutz issue, albeit not, you know, not for now. Then, of course, you know, in light of that, to revisit the discussion of the Ibn Ezra, you know, that becomes, and of Shmuel ben Chafni, you know, that becomes important as well. The Gemara in Samach Dal, Samach Gimel, sorry, in Yoma, discusses, you know, the question of Osov Yezbino. That's where the Gemara says that the Chiyos, I'm sorry, Samach Dal and Obedalit, that, you know, the Chiyoso, you know, Latzuk is considered as the equivalent of Shkita for the din of Osov Yezbino. The Midchas Chinuch has a whole diun. I think we discussed this in another context, right, Noach? About Tara, that you read the Minatzuk, will it also work for the Isra of Nevela? And he even considers the possibility briefly, you know, that it might be a Matir and Achila. So, now that's a little wild, but, you know, you can just imagine what's going on there, you know. But, and it's Yom Kippur, but, you know, it's going to happen fast, you know. Anyway, but the point is, like, how, yeah, first of all, you have to look at the parallel of Egla Rufa, Arifaso Zulishkitaso, but it's an interesting question whether this is, you know, some, like, narrow halacha only for also the Espino, et cetera, or it really is a kind of a shkita, and if it is a kind of a shkita, does that solve the problem, let's say, of the Ibn Ezra, you know, against Rav Shmuel ben Chafni, like, you know, how can you call this a korban if it doesn't have shkita? I mean, there are more answers to that question. But the question whether there's some sort of facsimile, you know, some parallel to real Shkita, is the Minchas Chinuch's discussion. More important is understanding the Sugya in Tmura Vavmud Beis and Chulin Yidalef Vavmud Beis, a really running out of time, and Yoma Samach Gimel, where the Gemara discusses, you know, aim, you know, the problem of Hagrela. You know, just quoted from here, you know, the Gemara discusses the issue of, you know, Mechusar Zman. The Gemara discusses the issue of Balmum, and we'll get to it in just a second. And the Gemara Nechulin discusses the issue of Trefa, right? So on the whole, like, is a Balmum a problem for Seir Mishtaleach? Is Trefa a problem for Mishtaleach? Is also the Yezbino, Mechusar Zman, I'm sorry, Mechusar Zman a problem for Seir Mishtaleach? The more you think that the Seir Mishtaleach is not really a Korban, it's some other thing entirely, then it shouldn't, you know, especially not Trefa and Balmum, it shouldn't be, you know, held to that sense. So the Gemara uses the principle of Ein Goral Kaveya Elabaroi L'Shein, you know, with respect to all the three of these issues. So the Pashtos, that could be understood in a narrow way, meaning, you know, the process that produces, you know, Sayer L'Hashem needs to be, you know, have proper integrity, and if you need to have two candidates. Again, it's an interesting question because, let's say, you know, you discovered after the fact that as long as you examine, like, the Sayer Anasa, you know, Bifnim, you know, it turned out, you know, okay. Does that necessarily mean, you know, that the Hagrala, you know, was corrupted? You know, if the other candidate doesn't, you know, turn out to, maybe, that's an interesting, you know, Hagrala kind of a question. I could see yes, I could see no. But at the end of the day, that's one way to understand this halacha. Other way to say it is that, you know, we wouldn't care so much about you know, the hagrala and the integrity, as long as it produced, you know, a viable candidate at the end of the day, you know, if it weren't for the fact that there was this, you know, unit and this constant split screen idea, you know, and this, at least that aspect of the kiyum. So particularly when it comes to shkita, it's very interesting. I'm sorry, when it comes to trefa, that's the Gemara in Chulin, on Yudalef Amud Beis, so the context of discussing, you know, Zina Basa Rove and those things. So they say we can learn Rove from Sira Mishtalech, Rachman Amar V'lakach Shnei Asirim, Shem Shneim Shavim. So the Gemara says, Lechash Du B'chad Minayu Trefa. Alav Mishum Darmin Zil Basa Ruba. So the Gemara originally thought, you know, that. Dechi Tema Maynaf Gemina. So that line, of course, in the Gemara is a terrific line. Like, why do we care? What do we care? Meaning, if it's in theory, it's here, Mishtalei, it could be a trefa. So the Gemara's answer is, In goro kavei lazazel abedavra roi l'shem. Good. And they can't do bedika afterwards, kavoi yamigil mach sahar, chanah sevar mebarim, etc. So that's, you know, there's no problem of trefa except for this, you know, going forward, etc. So is the absence of a trefa problem not a problem, even if it's a korban, because it's not that kind of a korban? It's not, you know, subject to akrava and the avodos. Is that the problem of trefa? Or no, a trefa is mufka from a korban. If this were really a korban, it would be a problem. Or does this rule of in baro kavei lazazel b'davar roi l'shem only, you know, taken so seriously because to begin with, we're looking split screen and as a single kiyum. Either way, the Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Yud Ches, well known, says Hoya Trefa, that's about Sira Mishtaleach, Pasul Shenemar Yamad Chai. Rambam came up with his own, you know, pasuk. So Lelecha Misha jumps in, says I don't get it. That's not what it says in Chulin. Kasher Perek Kamed Chulin. Lomer the Pasul Trefa Gabi Mishtaleach. El Mishum Dein Goral Kavei Lazazel El Adavar Roy L'Shem. The Mishnah Melech says, "Ah, I have an afkamina. The itzrich lahecha the nitra achar hagrala. Kaigav narminan." And he quotes the Gemara in Samach Gimel about balmum. Let's say a mum develops or a trefa develops after the hagrala, so there's no hagrala problem, right? But you know, now going forward, is there a problem with the seir mishalei? It's actually the Mishnah Melech Ha'ara is very good. Either way, the Rambam is very mechudash. It sounds like the Rambam is telling you that there's a problem with trefa. Again, is it a special zeres akasiv of yamot chat, and it's dafka not midin korban, or that's his way of saying it's a din korban. Either way, if there is a problem even la'achar, could that be ever attributed to, you know, ena garl kaveya ela l'misha roi l'shem? So if you think that that is only to produce, you know, that the two different whatevers, then no. But it could be that's kufa. Maybe what the Rambam was saying is, you know, looking for another remez, which he often does, but thinking that it's still connected to the Gemara. I mean, that's what the goral is. The reason ain't a goral kaveya el anisha roi l'shem is for the same reason that it has to be, you know, not only, you know, shavim b'maro b'koma, but even the kichasan, you know, kiachas. Okay, so that I think is important as well. Okay, I'm just going to finish up with one last ta'ara, and that is with respect to, again, going back to the Rambam just for a minute, and something that the Rav developed. So the Rav has this idea that's, you know, developed this question about, you know, when the Kohen Gadol is Mishaleach, the Seir, I'm sorry, when he's Mishaleach, the Seir Mishaleach to the Ish Iti, again, this is the question that many Achronim ask, including Shittim Chubetz says earlier in on the Yudal Rav Beis and Tmura. And that is like, why, if he's the Tuma, why don't you just have the Kohen Gadol, you know, take the Sira Mishtaleach outside of the Azara and hand it over to the Ish Iti? Why do you need to have somebody Nichnas Betuma, Dafka, you know, Ish Iti Afila Betuma? So again, the Shittim Kovetzes gave their answers, which are very interesting. And the Rav had a little bit of a different answer. So the answer revolves around the discussion of the Gemara in Samech Chesam and Beis, and the discussion of the Tosas Yeshayim. Like, what is the critical moment of the conclusion of the process of Seira Mishtaleach? Is it, I'm just giving you the short version so we can finish it down. Higiyah Bamidbar or the Chiyasa Batzok? Right? So this is discussed in two contexts. I'll just give you the short version. One is with regard to Kapara, you know, Libun. You know, when is it Malabein, you know, the magic sign, you know, of the Kapara. Then the Gemara seems to say, you know, Dechiyasa Batzok. And there's another issue, and that is, you know, when can the Kohen Gadol move forward with the Kriyas HaTorah, you know, which is the next, you know, thing that he needs to do. So if you look here at this, in Sugizan Samach, you know, Ches on the base, you know, and so on. Just one second. Well, you have this whole, you know, discussion, you know, Amar Lokan Gadol, Higiyasar Lamidbar, and then the Gemara says, Higiyasar Lamidbar, Nasas Mitzvasa, and then the next mission, the next parak, Balakon Gadol Likros, etc. So the Tosi Shanim already is troubled, like he thinks, you know, that there's a stira. Like, what's the end point? What's the Nasas Mitzvasa of the Seira Mishtaleach? Is it the Chiyah Latzuk, and that's when it's Malbin, etc.? Or is it, you know, Higiyah Lamidbar? Anyway, so Bikitsur, the Rav had this very nice discussion, nice piece. It's already in Igros HaGrid, and then he published it separately. It's an old piece, in other words, where he basically says there are two different dinim. I mean, the Tosi Shanim actually says, yeah, you're right, it's Machlokas, you know, Tanoim, and if everybody's going to be consistent, so both things either begin at, you know, at Tzuk, or both things, you know, are at Bamidbar. That's it. That's a Tosi Shanim's response. The Rav pointed out, if you look carefully, the Rambam has both these. He has the Malbin at the Tzuk, the Kapara, and he clearly has the, you know, Kohen Gadol moving forward, you know, at the Midbar. So obviously he doesn't think it's a Machlokas. Like, so what's going on? Moreover, the Rav was troubled by this other point. Like, why can't the, in the case of Tuma, why can't the Kohen Gadol just bring, you know, the thing out? Moreover, if you look at the Rambam's constantly talking about the Kohen Gadol as if he's the one who is Mishaleach, you know, the Seir Lazaza, or that the Ish Iti is doing his bidding. And he quotes the various Rambams. Moreover, when does the work of the Ish Iti really begin? So the Gemara says that his Tumas Begadim, which signifies his role, begins when he leaves, you know, Yerchomos Yerushalayim. Why doesn't it begin when he leaves the Azara? That's really, you know, when he's operating. And one other point, the Rav was troubled, like, why does the Kriyas HaTorah depend on the Siyum of the Seira Mishtaleach anyway? The Kriyas HaTorah is not part of the Avodah. So why can't the Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't be, you know, like, it's not the next step. Step of the Avodah, the Avodah is still continuing, and the Kohen Gadol is doing his Kriyas HaTorah. So because of all that, the Rav thought there were two dinim in Seira Mishtaleach. One is the kiyum of the Shiluach HaKohen Gadol. And the other is the, you know, the fate or the cheftza of the Seira Mishtaleach, you know, and the kapara that brings. And he thought those were two different things going on with a lot of overlap, meaning the reason the Kohen Gadol will not bring, you know, the Seira Mishtaleach to the Ish Iti Tameh is because he has to do this avoda himself in the Azara. I mean, he's got to hand it over to Ish Iti B'Torah, his Shliach, in the Azara. And when the Ish Iti's job begins when he leaves Yerushalayim, that's his job. That's his role, you know, to lead to the final denouement of the Seira Mishtaleach, and it's Kapara. But as far as the Kohen Gadol's job is concerned, that begins in the Azara, and he sends him out, Dafka, from inside to the outside of the Azara. So the Rav said, that's why the Kohen Gadol can't do anything before, whatever, because it may not be, the Kriya may not be part of the Avodah, but he's busy. He's remotely, you know, busy. Meaning, you know, his Shliach is doing his bidding, And therefore, in terms of the Seder Hadvarim, but that ends at the Midbar. Once the Ish-Iti gets the Midbar, then the Kohen Gadol's job is over. You know, of course, the Ish-Iti's own, you know, obligation to make sure that the, you know, that the Seir Mishpalech is properly disposed of, that's a different story. That is what happens. That's what happens in the Kapara part. So really, there are these two different things going on. And that's why there are different Nasas Mitzvahs and the Diyukim and so on. So I just wanted to add to that, and this will complete, that, you know, maybe these two elements are also the two aspects that we've been discussing about Seir Mishpalech. Meaning, why should the Kohen Gadol, why should this be his, you know, shlichus, frankly? It's after the Vidui, of course, it's after the Hagrala, it's after the Vidui. So he's dafka the one, it's an avoda of the Kohen Gadol, or a team of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is presiding over the, at this point, you know, the right thing has to happen to the Seir Mishpalech for the Kapar of Klal Yisrael. What does it got to do with the Kohen Gadol? On the other hand, this Seir Mishpalech in its own right isn't a korban, it's a rule breaker, right? So the answer is these two elements of the Seir Mishpalech are reflected dafka in the Kohen Gadol's role in the Seir Mishpalech and the Ish Iti's role in the Seir Mishpalech, which is why it's important to know that he, you know, is a Zar. And when it comes to the question of Shabbos and Tumah and Zar, that's also part of this, you know, dialectic, because even the Shiluach, Seir Mishpalech itself, has a double aspect that can be integrated. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Just to add one, you know, just the point that I referred to in the Hashkafa part, which is that, you know, this idea of a single kiyum and the idea of, you know, the split screen and whatever, I think it really, you know, goes to the heart, as I say, of what Yom Kippur is in the day. I've said this, you know, many times, you know, because I think it's true, and I just think it's reflected in the, you know, in the Zmanim parts and in the Karbanos parts and so on. And that is that what really characterizes Yom Kippur, you know, as being different is that, you know, I like to say that Rosh Hashanah is the most complicated day of the year, and Yom Kippur is the most, you know, kind of straightforward and simple day of the year. And that makes it the most important day of the year, not because being simple is more important than being complex, but at a certain point, you know, especially when it comes to loyalty, you know, defining who you are, you know, that has to be, like, they're obvious to speak about, you know, his father and his grandfather. He used to say, you know, these are like the most sophisticated thinkers, you know, conceptual, you know, articulators. And he'd say, but they're, you know, also were men of like a emunah pshuta, by which he didn't mean, you know, crude belief, Khalilah. What he meant was, you know, the sense of loyalty and like decisiveness of like finding who they are and what their purpose and what their goals were, like that was very clear to them. And, you know, everything revolved around that, you know, and then was translated in a sophisticated way, you know, Kalatz Mosai Tamar, Noshanichalcha, and trying to fit that into the world. So Yom Kippur is that kind of a day. It's the what I call Avdiachas Bashana factor, but it's either Kulal Hashem or Lazazel. It's, you know, it's Nichnas L'Fnag L'Fnin or it's the Seir Mishpalech. And in that sense, they're opposites, each one a rule breaker and a kiyum, but it's a joint kiyum. It's that idea of the split, of seeing both happening at the same time, that getting further away and this coming even closer, and the complexity that, you know, creates for a single kiyum, even as, you know, we're dealing with, you know, very different phenomena. Okay, sorry, it's late. Right. Oh, but what time did I say we're going to finish? 10:30. But I thought we'd start at 9. It's 9:30.
Okay. Thank you. Sure. Cool. All right, let me get the register so we can get you going.
Yeah. You don't want to
please put that. Okay, you're Shmuel Shlema.
Thank you. Have a good job.
From me too. Good to see you even on the screen.
Good to see you too.